Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes. Today, I am joined, as almost always, by Connor.
Almost always, it's right. Hey, Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's definitely been, kind of a two-man show the past couple of weeks. You know, we haven't really had a third guest on in a while.
No, none of those slackers are seeing movies. Not that there's a ton of new stuff to really see. But
we're still putting in the time to see something, you know. We're coming up with whatever insane ideas we can to, you know, continue to supply incredible radio content to
everybody. Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm going to be seeing a bunch of movies like coming up, you know, no matter what they are. I'm just going to see them. I'm seeing The Black Phone. I think that's what it's called.
You're going to see The Black Phone? I like stared at the show times for that for like 30 minutes. Trying to decide whether or not I wanted to actually go see this.
I'm seeing it, so you should see it. I'm seeing The Black Phone, and then the one I know you won't see, but the girlfriend wants to see it, is The Minions: Rise of Gru. Do you think I'm going?
I'm not going to see that.
Do you think I'm going to be lost, not knowing any? You know, because I haven't seen any of the other Minions movies. So
that's true.
You think
that's
I'll true. Be okay, like going into this one?
Yeah, I don't know. The lore of the Minions is quite complex. I do believe that it's kind of like, you know, watching Avengers Infinity War Part 2 or whatever, Avengers Endgame, and having not seen any other Marvel movies, I feel like it's going to be, you know, because those Minions, they get around, you know, they've had a lot of wacky adventures, you know?
They have, yeah. I think this is like a, I don't know, this is probably like the 17th one, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I feel like they've been making them for as long as I've been alive, even though I know that's not true. I think the first Despicable Me movie came out sometime when I was in high school. This sounds right in my head. And then from there, the Minions just kind of took over. You know, it's not even about Despicable Me anymore. It's all about the Minions. That's what it's all about.
Well, I don't think anybody really like. I mean, they like Gru, but they love the Minions. You know.
Well, you know, yeah, it's, I don't want to talk about the Minions anymore, Connor. I'm not going to see that. I might see The Black Phone to humor you so that we have something to talk about next week.
Yeah.
I won't be happy about it. I'll be pouting the entire way to the theater, but hey, maybe it's a good movie. I don't know. I like Ethan Hawke. You know, he's a good actor. He's been in many things that I like a lot. I'm not expecting this to be one of those things, but hey, I don't want to judge a book by its cover. You know, you never know. It could be a surprise great film by the great Scott Derrickson, director of Doctor Strange. I think that was right. He directed the first Doctor Strange, and then he quit the second one over creative differences, quote unquote, or whatever. It's a Doctor Strange guy joint. So that's why I can't say that I'm like, you know, really itching to go. That's okay. Yeah, I'll give it a shot for you.
Well, thanks.
All right. Today, though, we have a very, very, very special episode of Lopes on Movies ahead, because we don't do this very often. We've done it in the past, but this Lopes on Movies episode is going to have a broad theme. The reason for this is that Connor went to see a movie in theaters that is not currently playing in Delaware, so I couldn't see it. So to make up for that, I decided to see a movie that is tangentially related to this movie. without further ado, today's episode of Lopes on Movies is about golf movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, one of the best sports genres for movies, or the best one of the best sports for movies. Right? Like, would you say that these two movies we're going to talk about are in your top 10 golf movies of all time?
Well, the funny thing that about this is that I had to look this up because I was like, what golf movies even are there for me to watch? Because you watch your movie, and I'm like, all right, I got to find a golf movie to stay on theme. I look up like the top 10 golf movies or something, just like whatever random list. And it's like the same like five movies, and that's it. You know, I feel like golf has not really been done as great a service as like baseball, for instance. You know, like everybody knows Happy Gilmore, and that's like the golf movie to most like normal people, I think. But other than that, it's just kind of like a hodgepodge of things here and there that I don't think were ever really big hits or anything. So you're just kind of like golf movies. There's not a lot of golf movies. And I think this is a shame, you know, because golf is great. You know, like I think there's a lot of people that always joke about watching golf is boring or whatever. No, watching golf is great. It's like the best sport to watch because there's no downtime. You know, like golf is edited in such a way that you're never not seeing a shot. There's no waiting around in a golf broadcast. You know, so it's one of the best sports to watch on TV, in my opinion.
While you can watch it on TV before the LIV tour just kind of, you know, sucks up everything. Not
to get into too much of a tangent about the golf world, but the golf world is in something of turmoil at the moment because of this this LIV golf tour, the Saudi Arabian LIV golf tour that many of the PGA Tour players are defecting to because they're being offered absurd amounts of money to play in this invitational series. So the PGA Tour is kind of you know scared a little bit. There's factions lines being drawn in the sand between the people that are like, you know, ride or die PGA Tour and the people that are like, I like money. So it's it's a mess. It's a mess. You know, I miss when things were nice and simple and golf was just, you know, golf was just golf. It was just the PGA Tour, the big tournaments, you know, the Masters, the major tournaments, the majors. Like those are that's all I really care about. I'm not really interested in this LIV golf tour, but I am interested in what Hollywood and other movie production locations on the planet have done with the sport of golf. And so you watched a movie called Phantom of the Open, which just came out. It may come out in Delaware at some point, but I think it's probably more likely to end up on like Hulu or something in a month. So, you know, you can wait for it there. And I decided to watch the incredible golf classic Tin Cup with, you know, Kevin Costner and Rene Russo. So we're going to be talking about Phantom of the Open and Tin Cup. So where do we want to start, Connie? You want to start with your movie because yours is like newer.
I guess so. I'm excited to hear about Tin Cup because I've never seen Tin Cup. So that's you know, I'm excited to hear
this.
What
is good. We're
going to
be trading knowledge today. You know, maybe your movie will be one I want to see and my movie will be one you want to see.
Yeah. All right. So this is the Phantom of the Open and it's pretty great. I had a great time. It stars Mark Rylance, who, you know, kind of came to, you know, prominence, I guess, not too long ago. It was probably that movie Bridge of Spies is where he really like broke out, and he was already like an older actor. I think he was more of like a stage actor, like in England, like he was a theater actor, and then I think he won an Academy Award for Bridge of Spies, I think, for like best supporting actor. If I'm remembering correctly.
I think so. Yeah, he was at least nominated. I don't remember if he won. He might have, but I think that was a great performance, too.
Yeah, I think he did. He did win. Yeah, just yeah. Yeah, and it was great. Yeah. I mean, that movie was pretty good, too. It was
underrated, I thought. I like remember really loving Bridge of Spies when I saw that movie.
Mark Rylance stole the show. So this has been kind of a year for Mark Rylance, too. I mean, this is the second movie of his that I've seen this year. The other one was The Outfit, which I thought was also good, where he played a tailor who he didn't call himself a tailor. He was a cutter when he was making suits and stuff. And then he got kind of like mixed in with like this, this kind of mafioso plot in Chicago. It was also really good. I would recommend that one too. That one's a streaming.
I was mixing those two movies up in my head because I didn't realize there was two like wacky Mark Rylance movies out at the same time.
That one wasn't as wacky. That one was more like, I bet you that one would be a good like play. It's all take place in like one like set. It's not that wacky, but this one is pretty wacky.
This seemed like it was going to be a wacky fest for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Mark Rylance like kind of in a movie like this because he usually plays like the super serious character. You know, he was in Dunkirk playing like the father who was like the civilian ship. You know, like all these serious more roles, and the Office, it was the same kind of deal. I mean, that was had a little bit of goofiness in it, but not that much. And this one is just pure goofy. So let me go into what the plot is for this one. So Mark Rylance plays Maurice Flitcroft, which I don't know if you know who that is, but he's based on a real person, and the name is real too. So he is he was known for somehow stumbling and managing to get his way into the British Open, which is the one of the biggest golf tournaments in the world, and he was never really played golf, and he just kind of somehow sent in his application, said he was a professional golfer, and somehow ended up being able to play in the qualifying round for the British Open with actual professional golfers. And he was known for shooting the worst round in the history of the British Open Championship qualifying round, which was a 122.
I can do better than that.
Well, I know, but it was televised, and people, he kind of became this folk hero kind of person. Mm-hmm. So this is the story of him, really, and when he entered the tournament, and kind of all the time in between that period. And it's pretty great. It's definitely pretty goofy. I wouldn't want to call a movie like this a biopic, because biopics just take someone's actual, this is at least how I interpret those kind of movies. It takes someone's actual life in or a portion of their life, or however long, and they play it out completely as accurately as possible to what happened. And someone's actual life over the course of 5 years, 10 years, or longer, or whatever, kind of boring, if you want to follow it like that. This, what it does is it takes this goofy thing about how he enters this tournament, and then it hams up a ton of other stuff, which makes it so enjoyable and so fun. He enters the tournament, and he shoots the worst round. He's kind of I get the impression, just from stuff that I've read, that the real guy was more, he had more eyes on trying to weasel his way in, and had more of an idea of that he was scam. He was a bit of a scammer, schemes and stuff. And this guy that Mark Rylance plays is more of a lovable, hapless do-gooder who just wants to he tells his kids, all you got to do is just do all your best you can. Whatever you want to do, you can do. That kind of character, which kind of makes it fun. He's just this hapless guy who somehow just is able to play. No shame, no nothing. Putting up the worst round ever. So there's... what's funny about it, too, is after he does it this one time, they talk in actual, reality. And this is what I mean about, changing the story of, what actually happened to what they do in the movie. He tried to enter other tournaments after this, because, of course, after somebody gets into a major professional tournament like this, then they're going to make rules and never allow that to happen again.
Sure.
Yeah. But what he did was he still tried to enter under different names, and would enter with disguises and stuff, but they never let him play. But in the movie, he actually gets through and is playing in these disguises and stuff. And there's amazing comedic cuts and stuff. And it's just Mark Rylance hamming it up. He's way too old to be playing this character, too. The guy is supposed to be 46 or something, and he's clearly in his 60s. It is so, and that adds to how funny it is to me. But at the same time, it's a charming story of him and his, his sons, who he, is trying to show that you can commit yourself to anything you want to do in life. And even something like this, a guy who's never played golf before, who was a crane operator, can just enter the British Open and play. Why not? It's it's wonderful. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was really upset that I wasn't able to see this, because I just got the impression that this was going to be a really goofy, fun, stupid movie.
Yes, 100%.
So I'm hoping that it does eventually come to Delaware in some capacity, or that it's available on streaming at some point. But yeah, you know, for I thought that maybe this was going to become like one of your favorite old man movies, which I know is one of your favorite genres.
I didn't even get to that yet, but this is definitely in you know, this has entered that old man movie you know, hierarchy of this, you know, what I did last time, the top six. You know, I think I could probably do a top 10. This is definitely in the top 10 right now.
Definitely in the top 10. Wow. So yeah. Where would you put this next to like The Straight Story? You know, like how many points back or above?
Oh, it's back. It's back a little bit. But I'll tell you, Mark Rylance, he's making his way into those kind of actors that are good for these kind of old man movies. You know, I don't think we've seen like the last great Mark Rylance old man movie.
Oh, I think you're totally right. You know, he might be able to kind of fill like a Harry Dean Stanton sort of place, you know, in some of those roles that like later Harry Dean Stanton might have done. You could probably imagine Mark Rylance doing something similar, you know?
Yeah, for sure. He's great. I think he's a great actor. I think it was fun to see him in a movie like this too. Very different than the other stuff. It was, very fun. I'm sure you could tell that he enjoyed it too. It was very, very fun movie. So you have a movie that is with an actor that should be making his own old man movie soon, I would imagine.
Are you talking about Kevin Costner?
Yes, of course.
Man, isn't it crazy that like watching Tin Cup was really interesting for me, because this movie came out in 1996 or 1995, something like that. And I, you know, was 1 or 2 years old at that point, so I should have no nostalgia for Kevin Costner movies. But for some reason, watching this just made me miss the old days. Like, I feel like, and you know, we harp on this all the time on this show, and it's just beating a dead horse at this point, but they don't really make a lot of these kinds of movies anymore. Like, this is an R-rated romantic comedy starring a very famous leading man in Kevin Costner. It's entirely for adults. It's very well produced and ended up in theaters. And I don't think that it performed as well as some of the other movies that this director, Ron Shelton, is known for. He directed Bull Durham. That was his first movie that he directed. So this is very much in the same kind of vein as that. But like, man, it's just such a weird thing now, because we never get stuff like this anymore, that like a big studio production of this kind of thing. So I just watching it, I was thinking the whole time, like, man, I miss the old days that I was not alive for, or that was barely alive for, or whatever. But I don't know. It's like, this is also one of those movies that is, I swear we all have some collective memory of at least a handful of scenes from it, because it must have played on like TNT. Or TBS, or one of those channels, you know, because that's like, this is a definitive TNT kind of movie. But that being said, so it's a Tin Cup. Man, what a movie. You know, what a movie. What can you say about Tin Cup?
You got to say something.
Well, let me ask you, Connor, what do you think of Kevin Costner? Like, what is your impression of Kevin Costner?
I like him, I think.
I'm just fascinated by his like his screen presence and where he came from, and like kind of like he's nothing now. He barely does any movies anymore. I think he's actually working on like a epic western or something ridiculous like that. Like, which would actually be kind of cool considering his like, you know, Dances with Wolves and everything. Like, he at one point was like, he at one point was a major player in Hollywood, this guy, Kevin Costner. And he's got this everyman appeal. Like, there's just something about him that was really, really appealing. And this movie, Tin Cup, is like peak Kevin Costner. You know, it's like a definitive Kevin Costner performance, I feel like. And I don't know. I just think he's a really appealing actor in some of his best work. And like, I don't know that I would say this is some of his best work, but it might be. You know, I think this is a good movie.
I think he's great in all of the like sports movies. That I think that's really his element. Like, he's done. Has he done something in like every sport? Like,
it's possible.
So this is golf. And, I know. You know, we have baseball. Golf, we have baseball. Multiple baseball. He did Draft movies. Day. I didn't see draft day. That one might not.
I didn't see draft day either. That's a more recent. Yeah, that's a more recent one. But still, you know, I think Kevin Costner.
He did Waterworld.
Waterworld. Actually, I think that this movie Tin Cup came out just a little bit after Waterworld. So this, I guess, was sort of in the downturn of the Kevin Costner thing, because Waterworld was a big disaster, right? But either way, you know, this to me is like a definitive Kevin Costner performance. And, you know, there's aspects of it that I kind of love, because it on the face of it, you're probably going to imagine that it's like a really schmaltzy, just, you know, feel good Hollywood sports movie. And it's kind of that, but it's also kind of a very strange, jokey version of that. So, like, the basic premise of the movie is that this guy, Kevin Costner, I think his name's Roy McAvoy, his nickname is Tin Cup. He used to be, like, a really, really great golfer. Like, he is a great golfer, but he's kind of a head case and a jerk and a really, like, bad personality with a terrible mental game. So he wasn't really able to compete professionally, and he just decided instead that he's just going to, you know, live a quiet life out in the middle of nowhere in Texas, working at a driving range with his buddies, and you know, that'll be that. But then at one point, a psychologist played by Rene Russo comes to the driving range looking for lessons, and it becomes sort of like a romantic comedy between the two of them. And at some point, he gets the wacky idea that he's going to try to qualify for the U.S. Open and win the U.S. Open to win her heart or something. He's basically like one of the best golfers in the world, is what we're supposed to imagine, even though he doesn't play professionally, and he has to like go through all the qualifiers and all this stuff. But he's like such a bad personality in so many ways, but the beautiful thing about the movie is that he doesn't learn any lessons at all.
Oh, that's great.
The movie ends with him being more or less exactly the same person as he was at the start, except, you know, he gets the girl and life is good. And it's wonderful. I love it. Because, like, the way that you would expect a movie like this to go is that, like, you know, he's got some problems with the mental game. You know, he has problems on the golf course. He can't finish. He just gets too hot-headed. You know, he always makes, like, the big thing is that he'll never lay up when he's, like, really close to getting on the green. He's always like, nah, I'm gonna try to get on when he's a little bit far away. And then, you know, he always ends up, like, missing it just by a bit or hits it in the water. And he's like, I'm taking a drop right here. I'm going to hit it again. And he eventually, like, gets, you know, like, 12 over trying to get it onto the green. Or there's one great part where, like, he's telling his caddy, who's played by Cheech Marin, he's telling him, like, all right, give me the 3-wood. And he's like, no, you should lay up here. I'm going to give you a 2-iron. He's like, no, give me the 3-wood. And they're, like, arguing back and forth. And then he, like, snaps all his clubs and finishes the round with just a 7-iron. he's just a mess, right? So the way you would expect a movie like this to go is that at least what I would expect is that the love interest comes in. And of course, she's played up to be a psychologist, right? So you'd think, okay, so she's going to fix his mental game and kind of like calm him down and make him learn that, you know, sometimes going for it all the time isn't the right thing to do. You know, sometimes you got to lay up. But instead, she kind of becomes attracted to him for all of the worst things about him, and then starts to enable him. It's like he's on the golf course, and Cheech is trying to tell him to hit a 2-iron, and she's like, no, go for it. It's like she's a terrible influence, and she's making everything worse about him. But I love it. It's great. They're meant for each other, because, like, why change who he is? You know, he's a mess. That's what makes us love him, you know? So, like, there's no lessons learned. I feel like the main characters just kind of get more crazy as they go along, and I love it. You know, that's how a movie should end. You know, nobody should ever learn any lessons in movies, in my opinion. I think that, you know, all characters should stay exactly where they were at the beginning, and then never become any better of people. They should just stay, you know, stay a mess, like Kevin Costner in Tin Cup. It's great. The conclusion to the movie is so funny too, because like he does, of course, get into the U.S. Open. He's like, you know, playing a historic round because he's such a great golfer. But I almost don't want to spoil the way that it ends, because it's really good. You should watch this. I think it's better than a lot of people give it credit for. I think when it first started, I was like, oh, some of this dialogue's a little weird. This is this. I don't know. This is like This is going to be great. But then as it goes on, I feel like it really endears itself to you a lot. And the characters are great. It's just a lot of fun. A lot of good local color, you could say. You know, it's very much a movie about this particular place in Texas that he's from. Yeah, it's great. You know, it's like I said, it's a kind of movie that you don't really see that much anymore. Hmm. And I would recommend it for golf people, especially. You know, there's a lot of good golf puns. You know, like he's always relating everything in his life to golf in some stupid way. And it's you could argue it's really corny, but it's also really funny and like whatever. I'm all about it. Sometimes you need movies like this. You know, sometimes you need these kind of like. One foot in cornball territory and one foot in subverting your expectations of cornball territory, so that it's always a good time. So yeah, you should watch this, Connor. No, everybody should watch
Tim. I will. Yeah, it sounds like just from your description that this there is a real life person who is Tin Cup, and that's John Daly. Except his life has kind of gone the actual way that someone like that would go.
Which... You know what's really funny? This movie came out in like 1995, so it's not that far away from when we would have started being more aware of who like the professional golfers are. Like Phil Mickelson is in it; he has like a very, very tiny cameo at the beginning. And I assume there's like a lot of the other guys were like major golfers at the time that I just didn't recognize. I mean, Tiger Woods wasn't there. I don't think the Tiger was like super big at that point. It was still kind of early for Tiger. But it's close, you know, like you got Phil there at least. So that's something that was like, I know him. This reminds me of golfers that I know. This is great. But yeah, it's interesting, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah. So look at that. We talk about two golf movies and we liked them both. You know, that's great.
I feel like they should make more golf movies, you know, but not like they should make more golf movies like Tin Cup, in my opinion. Because like I'm sick of the uplifting, you know, like golf movie. It's not like this movie isn't like a crowd pleaser, but you know, like you see like the posters for some of these golf movies, and they feel like they're very, very like schmaltzy, but not in like a clever way. They just look like movies about, you know, chasing your dreams and like all this stuff. It's like I feel like golf can be better.
Well, you're describing Phantom of the Open.
Yeah, like you know, I'm sure the movie's fine, but like golf can do so much more. You know, there was a good movie that we watched in class. Well, I say good movie, it actually wasn't that great, but there was a movie that we watched in class that I took last semester that involved a murder around a golf tournament, and like one of the main characters was a golfer. I was like, yeah, like set more movies on golf courses and stuff, you know, because I feel like it's an interesting setting. There's a lot of like interesting characters you see on golf courses. There's so much potential there for different kinds of movies. Make more golf movies. That's my, you know, if anybody's listening to this, any Hollywood producers, you know, that's my recommendation to you. If you want to probably lose a lot of money, but make me very happy, make more golf movies.